15.
Thank you, Gary. Would you be opening your Bibles in the Old Testament to the book of Joshua, the sixth book in your Bible? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14. Beginning at verse 6 of Joshua 14. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time He said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out and do battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Robert Browning wrote in a poem called Rabbi Ben Ezra these words: "Grow old along with me, the best is yet to be. The last of life for which the first was made, our times are in His hand. Who saith a whole I plan? Youth shows but half. Trust God, see all, nor be afraid." And as he concluded the poem, he said, "So take and use thy work, amend what flaws may lurk. What strain of the stuff, what warpings past the aim. My times be in thy hand, perfect the cup as planned. Let age approve of youth, and death complete the same." We live in a world that glorifies the young. We watch as a young woman walks down a runway, and someone sings the strains of Miss America, and all of the nation rejoices with her, young and beautiful. You go to the checkout stand at the grocery store, and there are racks of magazines. And on the front of every one of those magazines, a young, beautiful lady. Sometimes a handsome, muscled movie star. We live in a world that glorifies youth. Last night, the world shocked that a 45-year-old man named George Foreman could beat up a young man named Michael Moore. Why, it's a scandal that age would triumph over youth. We live in a world that glorifies the young. And yet I wonder, could we not learn and gain so much by looking at those who've gone before us, who've exhibited for a long, long time a living, real faith? in Jesus Christ. This morning, we come to the story of a man who's been one of my heroes throughout my life as a Christian. He was a man who walked with God a long time, and whose faith through the years never wavered, who demonstrated a perseverance beyond what most of us in modern America understand. His name is Caleb. To read the first part of his story, you've got to turn back to Numbers 13. The children of Israel had come out of Egypt under bondage. God, by His power, had released them. They had come out. They'd gone through the Red Sea and walked across on dry ground. God had fed them, and God had watered them from a rock. They'd come to the edge of the Promised Land, and 12 spies were sent in to check out the land that God had been telling them was a land flowing with milk and honey. The 12 spies came back, and they all agreed on one thing. It was indeed a land flowing with milk and honey. But it was at that point that their witness began to diverge a little. 10 of them began to describe the enemies in the land. They talked about large fortified cities with walls around them. And they talked about giants, descendants of Anak, that were there. And they said, "We cannot take the land." 2 of the men, Caleb and Joshua, said, "We can take the land." Caleb stands up, in fact, in front of the whole assembly, and he says, "By the power of God, we can take the land. God has given us the land." Numbers 14, Joshua and Caleb both say, "The protection of our enemies has been removed, and God is with us. Let's not be afraid. Let's take the land." But because the witness of the 10 overpowered the witness of the 2, Israel's heart melted that day at Kadesh Barnea. And because of their unbelief, God caused them to wander about in the desert in a circle for 40 years. Until every member of the generation that doubted Him died, except Caleb and Joshua. They wandered in the wilderness, just wandering for 40 years and digging graves. But the time had finally come until every member of that generation had died, and Caleb and Joshua had led the people into the Promised Land, and for 5 years, like a sweeping juggernaut, they'd taken over the land of Canaan. Now the inheritance were being passed out, each tribe getting one little part of the land that God had promised them. And whenever the inheritances were being doled out, Caleb comes to Joshua and he says, "Joshua, you remember 45 years ago? You remember what Moses promised me that day? He said that every place your foot set foot, you're going to have as your inheritance. Joshua, I've been waiting 45 years to get at the giants, the Anakim, the people who live in Hebron, in the hill country. Now, Joshua, give me this land for my own. Give me another shot at the giants, because this inheritance was promised to me 45 years ago." And the Bible says, so Joshua gave him Hebron. And then it just makes one little statement. "So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since." What are we led to believe? I'll tell you what we're led to believe. That Caleb went in and led his warriors, and they took the Anakim out and put themselves in. They took Hebron because God had promised it. There are a couple of things I think we can learn from a man like Caleb. A couple of things that we want to dwell on this morning for just a moment. First of all, I learned from Caleb, you need to strike the blow that is available to you. Age is no excuse. You need to strike the blow that is available to you. At 40 years of age, Caleb stands up to strike the blow that is available to him. He is saying, "With the power of God, we can take the land." It is a word of encouragement to a people whose heart is beginning to melt. And Caleb stands up and he says, "We can take the land. God promised it. It is ours. We can do it." You see, Caleb and Joshua and the other 10 And all of the people of Israel had already seen what God could do. That by the power of the 10 plagues, God released them from captivity. By the power of God, the Red Sea had parted. They'd all walked across on dry ground. By the power of God, they drank water that came right out of a rock in the wilderness. By the power of God, they'd been fed every single day as they made their way toward the promised land. And Caleb, having seen the power of God demonstrated over and over and over, says, if God says this land is our land, we're going to take it as ours. God promises it is ours. But denied that opportunity at age 40, he waited 45 more years, and at 85, he struck the blow that was available to him. Joshua, I want that land that was promised me. And I'm going to take my warriors and we're going in and take what's already been given me 45 years ago. You know, through the years of my ministry here, I've noticed that we've had a lot of Calebs in this church family. Back 15, 16 years ago, as we were planning to make our move out here, I had a lot of people in the brotherhood from time to time who knew we were building a new building say to me, How do your older members feel about that? And I'd get this big smile on my face and I'd say, I want to tell you something. They're the most excited people about the move in our church family. They're the most excited people about the move in our whole family. They're the ones who were saying, with the power of God, we can go out there and make a difference in this community. Let's do it. It was the older members who were the visionaries saying and looking above the majority sometimes to say, we can and we will, by the power of God, do it. When we started to make some changes around here 3 or 4 years ago that caused this family a lot of pain and a lot of grief, some of the most faithful visionaries were some of our older brothers and sisters in Christ who came like Caleb and said, this is of God and God wants this done, and I want you to know we're for it every ounce of the way. Strike the blow that is available to you. Regardless of what your age might be, whether you're young, whether you're old, you're going to have opportunity to stand up and encourage somebody's faith sometime. Like Caleb, who stood up in the face of melting hearts of Israel and said, God can help us do this. Like Caleb at age 85, who says, I'm as strong as I was then, not meaning physically strong, but strong of faith, strong of will, and eager as to do battle now as I was then, let me have a shot at him. And by the power of his faith, he encourages the hearts of Israelites everywhere. Brothers and sisters, strike the blow that is available to you. The second thing I learned from Caleb in this passage is that the longer you walk with God and the nearer your inheritance gets, the dearer it becomes. I have the feeling as I read this passage that here's a man who walked with God 85 years. And at age 85, he is saying, now I'm near to that inheritance that I've waited for all my life, and it's more dear to me now than ever before. Here was a man who had demonstrated a perseverance of faith for years. 85 years old. And saying, let me fight the giants. Give me the toughest land with the toughest fortified cities and the biggest enemies of them all, and I'll show you the power of my God. And Hebron belonged to Caleb ever since, because he walked wholeheartedly with his God. I was sharing in singles class earlier in the morning the importance of perseverance. You know, I look at our young people that held their hands up a minute ago. I could not be more proud of a group of kids. There is no way I could be more proud. That group of kids are making an impact in the high schools and junior highs around this city. And I look at them and the potential that is theirs, and I think 85 years old? Man, it's a long time from their age to 85. And to walk with God all of that time takes a great deal of grit and perseverance. And that's what Caleb had. Tommy Cruise showed up in Helena, Montana in the spring of 1867. He came in on the tail end of the gold rush that had been part of the West for years, decades. As Tommy Cruise showed up in Helena, Montana, the gold rush had just about played out, but Tommy Cruise had come to seek a fortune prospecting for gold. Every spring, Tommy Cruise would go out on the mountainsides around Helena and look for gold. He became sort of the joke of the community. They started calling him Crazy Tommy. 9 consecutive years, he would go out in the spring and stay out there for 6 months combing about the mountains looking for gold, and he'd come back in during the winter months and beg for food, and the whole town called him Crazy Tommy. In 1876, 9 years after he'd arrived, he saw something floating on a creek that made his heart leap. It was the scum that usually comes from the refuse of gold that has been washed away. He couldn't determine from what had been on the creek, how long it had been in the creek, which mountain it had come from. And so for the next several years, Tommy Cruise went out there for 6 months at a time, wrapping bandages around his knees for padding and crawling on his hands and knees around those hills looking for traces of gold. Every time he'd find a trace of gold, he'd put a stick in the ground. And he began to notice a pattern in the sticks that pointed to a certain mountain. And Tommy Cruise began to burrow into that mountain. 200 feet into the mountain he went. Took him 200 days because he moved about a foot a day through solid rock. 200 feet into that mountain, Tommy Cruise discovered the mother lode of Montana. It was a vein of gold over a foot wide. And over the next several years, Tommy Cruise mined out of that mine over $16 million worth of gold. That mine contributed more gold to Fort Knox than any mine in the United States of America. You know what? They quit calling him Crazy Tommy around Helena. They started calling him Mr. Cruise. And then he became known as Colonel Cruise. He saved the city from bankruptcy on 2 or 3 occasions. And if you go to Helena, Montana today, you can still see the monument that is built to Tommy Cruise. It is an enormous church called St. Helena's Cathedral that he built with his own money and contributed to the city of Helena. You say, wow, what perseverance that a guy would wrap rags around his knees and crawl around on mountains and beg for food for years in order to get the mother lode. Folks, what we're talking about is an inheritance that is laid up for us where the streets are paved with gold. And if Tommy Cruise could do that for a few years to get something of a physical nature, how much more ought we to persevere for that of a spiritual nature? 85 years old, and this man is walking with God and saying, you come with me and I'll show you the power of God as we kick out the Anakim. I've seen the Calebs in this church family through the years, time and time and time again. Many of them have walked with God longer than I've been alive. I watch their lives. I think about so many through the years who as they've grown older, the inheritance has gotten dearer and dearer to them. Gary Bruce and I were talking the other day about one of the saints that used to be members here, her name was Leon Roberts. Many of you have been around here very long remember Leon. And she contacted cancer, and I went to visit her in the hospital in one of the last few days that she was alive. And I remember saying to her, Leon, how do you feel about this? I still remember her smiling, that unique smile that was Leon Roberts. And she said, well, you know, this isn't something I would have asked for myself. But now that it's here, I don't mind it too much because I know before long I'm going to be with Jesus. And as long as I live, I will remember the faith that I witnessed in that saint laying in that bed facing death. It was saying, in essence, the longer I live, the dearer the inheritance becomes to me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, they have much to teach us. We are here, we are prospering because of what so many have done before us. And we need to give them the honor that is due them. And we need to learn from them everything we can learn, but most of all, we need to learn how to persevere in the faith until the inheritance that is laid up for us becomes dearer than this life itself. Amen? And sometimes we just need to pray, God, will you bring light to the darkness of my heart? Would you give me that pure faith that I need? Will you give me that pure, certain hope that was characteristic of Caleb's life? That I might face my upcoming death, whenever that might be, with the faith that said, my inheritance is dearer now than it's ever been. Let's pray and let's ask God to bring that light to the darkness of our hearts and to give us that certain hope and to give us that certain assurance that ought to be out. Let's pray.
Most high and glorious God, bring light to the darkness of my heart. Give me right faith, certain hope, and perfect charity. Lord, give me insight and wisdom that I might always deserve your holy Most high and glorious God, bring light to the darkness of my heart. Give me right faith, certain hope, and perfect charity. Lord, give me insight and wisdom that I might always deserve Thy holy and true will. Most high and glorious God, bring light to the darkness of my heart. Give me right faith, certain hope, and perfect charity. Lord, give me insight and wisdom that I might always Thy holy and true will. Amen. 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 Amen.
Grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. You know, I think in the fullest sense, you cannot make that statement until Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. The best isn't yet to be if you aren't His disciple. I read time after time in Joshua 14 that Caleb followed the Lord his God wholeheartedly. I wonder how many of us can say that I followed my Christ wholeheartedly this week. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ. When we leave here today, we walk out with a faith that says, I'll follow my Christ wholeheartedly. Because of that faith, I can say from the heart, grow old along with me, the best is yet to be. This morning, if you can't make that statement, but you want it to be your own, He invites you. He says, come and receive what I have offered so freely. Accept it by faith. Obey the gospel of Christ. Be immersed in Him. Walk in newness of life. The best is yet to be. Would you come at His invitation while we stand and sing?